P-minus 68. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado.
What's the approach here? Emma asked when she caught up with Godfrey just a few paces short of her office door, having left Piper in Tara's highly capable and welcoming hands.
They are going to try to get the police to stand down at Dortlu Tepe, Godfrey said. In fact, they've probably already made that move.
Emma said nothing. Suddenly, the chairman looked extremely concerned. He rubbed his chin in thought and went on.
Yes, Timo is right. We need serious security to protect the site, because they want scenes of protesters destroying the pillar and probably trying to coarsely dig up other areas. The trouble is, the security teams we have on the ground to guard the Turkish sites are far too small to deal with an influx of professional protesters like the idiots are likely to send. Timo has a small group of security guards, but they're not the kind you lean on at a time like this. If we can't count on the police being present, I will rely on the ICA personnel we've had stationed in Ankara since I learned of the site's significance.
We're making a lot of leaps of imagination here, Emma counseled, keen to avoid any overreactions. All this talk of professional protesters at such short notice, and even if you're right, what do you suggest?
Godfrey took a deep breath. Emma, on reflection, I'd like to politely suggest that you leave the room before I pass on my instructions. I value your input more than any other individual's, without exception, but it's probably for your own good if you don't feel part of this decision. I hope it doesn't come to pass, to be clear. But with the level of escalation they've made in siding with Geller and leaking the Dortlu Tepe news, the gloves are off.
When Godfrey finished speaking, Emma walked to the door. He breathed a sigh of relief that she seemed to understand, then found it turning suddenly to a rueful sigh as she stopped short of opening it to leave and instead locked the security latch.
We're in this together, she said. Our hands are in the same dirt and our backs are against the same wall here, Godfrey, so don't worry about my conscience getting in the way.
Although he didn't smile at these words, the stakes were much too high for anything like that, Godfrey gave Emma a quick nod of respect. For her part, Emma had taken no umbrage whatsoever to what she saw as a well-intentioned offer to shield her from whatever Godfrey was about to order. He must have known that her security cameras and microphones would capture whatever he said and did, she figured, and her own need to be in on it in real time ran far deeper than a simple desire to be in the loop. She had to know what the situation was, given that not only was her whole family so intimately wrapped up in it all, but that they were also housing the AWOL Godfrey at the very moment he was set to issue these grave-sounding orders. At Chip Petrovich's house, Clark had saved Emma from the need to overtly give her assent for Leisha's permanent elimination of the intruders. She appreciated that greatly, for what it was worth, and could see similar intent in Godfrey's offer here, even though it wasn't quite on the same level of life and death. Or so she thought.
Very well. Godfrey nodded. I have to absolutely insist that you don't waste any of our time or breath on disagreements, should you have any, because this is literally the only acceptable course of action. I will first issue an order for our Turkish security officers to immediately begin satellite surveillance, with Timo's help, so that we can gather evidence that many individuals in the inevitable horde that descends on Dortlu Tepe have indeed been bussed in as professional protesters. Undeniable proof of that will be crucial to protect our men from the fallout if things go the way I fear they might.
Just what are we talking about here? Emma asked. What orders are you thinking of giving here?
Shoot to kill, the ICA chairman replied.
Early and decisively.
Emma didn't gasp or widen her eyes in shock, instead only raising her eyebrows very slightly as though encouraging Godfrey to repeat himself in case she'd misheard. The first thing Timo thought of was the shambles in Tibet when Western tourists clashed with my Chinese GSC guards. Remember, it was an international incident, and no one had anything beyond mild cuts and bruises. You can bet your bottom dollar our enemies are thinking about that day, and assuming that any security forces under my organization's command will be similarly hesitant to act decisively.
Emma kept quiet, thinking deeply as Godfrey spoke. But at Lake Namtso, those guards were merely protecting a site of significant interest, he continued. At Dorlu Tepe, we're protecting the most important archaeological site ever discovered. I hope the fools do underestimate our response, and I'm sure they will. Professional protesters aren't driven by passion, obviously, so they will flee at the first sign of serious pushback. People will do a lot of things for money, Emma, but dying is rarely one of them. When I say early and decisively on the shoot-to-kill order, that applies to a situation in which the mob doesn't respond to the threat. The side benefit, to take an admittedly detached stance, is that a death will positively force the police to lock down the site. I'm not concerned in the slightest about what Turkish authorities might do at the site in the next few days, because they see it as a national treasure. I believe they would welcome a lockdown, and I'm not entirely sure Slater and Cole will have succeeded in encouraging the police to stand down. But if Ding is with them too, and especially if they've sweet-talked the Russians, I think that level of international pressure would be difficult to withstand, particularly with the troubles the Turkish economy has suffered of late. After several years spent advising some of the world's most powerful figures, Emma, for the first time, felt decidedly out of her depth. It was the words shoot to kill that did it, bringing a somewhat militaristic life and death feel to an issue she had previously viewed as political. There was no message to manage here, only orders to dish out to heavily armed men who seemed set to be confronted by a mercenary horde of angry protesters. Emma didn't regret insisting upon being part of Godfrey's decision-making process, or at least being in on it, even if his tone and words made clear that she wouldn't have had much of a say if she disagreed. Nevertheless, the weight on her shoulders was greater than it had been a few minutes earlier. Godfrey was certainly right that a death at Dordalu Tepe would lock down the site, and a large part of Emma's mind thought that he was downplaying the weight of that consideration in this plan as a whole. Protecting Dordalu Tepe from ransacking was certainly important, but Emma understood full well that there was more going on here than that. The sanctity of the site was as important in a symbolic sense as any other, and any overrunning of security forces would have been a significant early moral victory for the forces behind Jan Geller's leak. Emma couldn't help but wonder how much of an emergency stop Godfrey's immediate return to public view would be. But with the world currently so angered and concerned about the leaked carvings, she didn't think it was worth the risk of finding out. That he hadn't even suggested that course of action suggested that similar thoughts had been dismissed just as quickly in his own mind, and things were moving so quickly that there would have likely been insufficient time to do anything on that front before the protesters began to arrive, in any case. The only thing to do is protect the site immediately and issue firm orders to use lethal force when necessary, Godfrey reaffirmed, keen to shut down any nascent doubts that may have been growing in his sole confidant. This is going to be an insignificant footnote in a few days once we've shown the world what Slater and Cole have done and once we can reveal all the exciting news about Sanctuary and begin assisting our friends from above in restoring true stability to New Kerguelen. We can't lose sight of that. Emma hesitated, then shook away her final doubts with a Leisha-like nod, slowly up and slowly down, as though emphasizing her support with the deliberate nature of the gesture. Godfrey lifted his phone from his pocket and rapidly typed a message to the head of his local Turkish ICA security force. The recipient was a serious man, well decorated in a long public career, and was in such a position precisely because Godfrey trusted him absolutely. The ICA chairman nevertheless included a brief note explaining that he was indeed alive and well, and asking the man to avoid mentioning this to anyone else for the time being. The message explained the situation and warned of the imminent presence of mercenary protesters intent on defiling the priceless artifacts at Dordalu Tepe, which Godfrey insisted had to be protected at any and all cost. His final three words, referring to an order only to be executed in a true emergency, were the bluntest of all. Shoot to kill. It might not come to this, Godfrey said as he hit send, with Emma having moved to stand over his shoulder and read the words at his explicit invitation to do so. But it might. Emma gulped, then walked back to the door. This time, she unlocked and opened it in one quick double movement, tipping her head in encouragement for Godfrey to follow and rejoin the others to deal with the other million things they had to handle. Before she took a single step towards the living room, though, much less began explaining the difficult action they had just taken, Clark arrived to greet her.
Good, he panted. I was just coming to get you guys. Come on, it's Masood.
Godfrey's expression perked up.
On the phone?
TV, Clark said as he hurried back to the living room. He's walking outside the hotel heading for the cameras. He has a briefcase in his hand and he really doesn't look in a good frame of mind at all.
Emma's heart sank as she recalled the words from the message Timo had relayed from Masood just minutes earlier. If what I'm about to do goes wrong, I'm sorry for everything. Her least favorite feeling, that of helplessness, was circling once more, and the look she saw on Godfrey's suddenly pale face suggested that he was experiencing similar feelings.
I think he's going to kill himself, she said, hurrying through the house at Godfrey's side. What else could it be? I think we should send Leisha to get him before it's too late.
Dan, having heard these words, shook his head and answered before Godfrey had a chance. Masood explicitly said not to let the aliens interfere, and this isn't a public suicide either. That wouldn't make sense from any angle. But he said he'll be sorry if what he's about to do goes wrong. And if he was trying to kill himself, succeeding would be going right, if you know what I mean.
We have to respect his wishes, Leisha decided, ending that discussion once and for all as he stared at the projector screen in the same manner untold millions of humans were staring at TVs around the globe. Masood is an honest man, good and true.
Dan exhaled sharply, approving of these words but growing tenser by the second as Masood neared the cameras. The archaeologist was making a symbolic beeline for the very spot from which John Cole had addressed the media an impossibly long day earlier, and that detail was lost on no one.
He's a good man, Godfrey said. He stuck with Kendrick when they got arrested and kept his mouth shut when questions were asked. Leisha is right to let him talk.
Outvoted by the others and clearly outranked by Leisha, Emma tried to calm her breathing and accept their decision not to interfere. She hoped beyond hope that Masood Dimir wasn't going to kill himself, and the next few minutes would prove that hope well-founded. The good news didn't end there, however, but only because there was no good news. For despite the reality that Emma's worst fear wouldn't come to pass, there were certain other outcomes that she hadn't even considered.